You're now listening to the Inside Out Podcast with Jimmy Hunt. Get it.
Welcome to Inside Out with Jimmy Hunt. My job is simple, to improve my mental fitness through any means possible and deconstruct what works, what doesn't, and what I think may be able to help you become mentally fitter. And quite often it leads me to some pretty interesting people, places, and stories. And today, I've got some stories to tell. And the story that a lot of people want to know is, where the hell have you been? I don't remember the number exactly. I think we're up to episode 87 or something like that on this podcast. And I put that out every single week for 87 weeks and then disappeared. And didn't really tell anyone why I haven't uploaded a podcast in the last 2 months. And here is that explanation for you. And not only will I hopefully tell you some stories today and explain what's going on, I think there's some lessons in these stories for all of us. So, we'll start there. And we'll start with, I've been struggling. That's why I haven't done it. I've been struggling. And, I mean, it's an interesting struggle, slightly different to what you may think. Kind of started off, I think, for me, I went back to New Zealand and I did a whole bunch of talks. And when you go and do, what I do, like 7 talks in 2 weeks and travel around the country and met thousands of people and got COVID, obviously. That's what you do. And COVID for me was fine. We all know that COVID is just a weird, strange disease that affects a lot of people very differently. But for someone who rarely ever gets sick, I spent a week at home at my parents' place in bed with a slightly sore throat, a light cough, and I was kind of fine. And then I managed to do another talk, and then I came back to Mexico. And whilst I've been in Mexico, my wife hasn't been all that well. Hi, Libby Grace.
Hi, Jimmy Hunt.
And one of the interesting things that has worked for me on my evolution as a human is that I struggle with other people struggling. And this stems back to, I guess, my ex-wife who got sick all the time. And I had a real struggle empathizing, caring for, and being loving to her at the time. And then fast forward through a divorce and then meeting a new, beautiful, wonderful, lovely lady who then a year into our relationship ended up with very, very, very severe chronic fatigue for a year, of which she couldn't get out of bed for 23 and a half hours a day most days. And I was asked to basically, well, I wasn't even asked. I was forced to be a caregiver of sorts to my wonderful lady friend. You're my lady friend, Libby Grace.
I just hate that phrase.
Yeah, you were my girlfriend at the time.
I was.
And you were very, very unwell, and that meant that I had to do pretty much most things. I think, without using too bad a connotation on it, I'm a reasonably selfish person. In terms of, like, I've got my priorities, my things I want to do, and I just want to sort of go ahead and do them. And, you know, this was something that absolutely forced me outside of that state. You really have two choices, is either, you know, look after the person or abandon the person. Those are your two choices. There's no real sort of halfway in between. And we'd been dating for a year and I actually mildly liked you, Libby Grace. And so I wasn't going to abandon you. And I think over that 12 months, and you can answer to this, I think over that 12 months, I got a lot better at being caring, compassionate, and empathetic from where I started. You reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I don't obviously can't attest to what you were like in your previous marriage. So I can only go off what you were like from the beginning to the end of my chronic fatigue. My situation started off quite slowly. It did take my rip the carpet from under my feet, and I had to quit my job pretty much instantly and everything like that. But it wasn't, it kind of, everything sort of denigrated over time. So it was like, at first I didn't need, you know, as much support or care or whatever. So it did kind of develop.
And we didn't know what was happening.
No, we had no idea. But yeah, you had these really amazing, this is how I remember it. It was a long time ago, and it's kind of, while it's a memory, it's not a very clear memory anymore.
You were in a messed up state at the time, so memories were hard to form.
Yeah. You became better at like having to cook for me if I needed food, which you'd never really been interested in cooking or even tried. No. And you still, even after that, you didn't like it or whatever, but you would do it if I needed it. And I could rely on you for sure. If I needed something to go to a doctor appointment, a hospital appointment or whatever, you would always be there.
Or just fetching things.
Fetching things. Yeah. Fetching was one of your best traits. But, you also did really amazing, gestures. Like, where we lived at the time had a skylight, and I literally was in bed, like you said, for most of the day. And I didn't have a view except for this skylight, and it used to get dirty because we lived in Devonport, and the salt water would make it dirty. So I remember just looking up one day and you were up there on the skylight washing it so that I could see, you know, out the window clearer. And then you followed that up with another time where I said, I just want a coffee and a pain au chocolat from the little French place next to us. And I think I said something to someone, to a friend, like, oh, I wish I could get a delivery from the little French place next door through my skylight of a pan of chocolate and coffee. And I remember looking up and you were there on the roof, like handing me a package. Like, I had to stand up on the bed and open the skylight, and you literally had a cup of coffee and a pan of chocolate. So you did those things super, super well.
Yeah, but we don't want me to sound too good, because the point, and when, you know, when this is not a whole episode about your chronic fatigue or anything, but the point that I was about to make is that you've had a pretty rough last few months, slash, like this year hasn't been great.
But what I was going to say previous about that is that you had these grand gestures of love, like these lovely things, but overall, I felt pretty
average.
I felt like I wasn't being cared for particularly. Yeah. But I was very stubbornly telling you I didn't really, want you to or need you to or whatever.
But you needed me to.
I did.
And so, you know, fast forward, what are we, 8 years from that, and you know, you've had a pretty rough year again.
Yeah,
and you've just been sick after sick after sick after sick of just different random
things. It's been so bizarre.
And, you know, 8 years down the line, I am still an inherently self-centered person in terms of, like, I've got all of these goals and all of these things that I want to do, and on my list is not, you know, caring for my wife, you know, it's being with my wife and being in a relationship and being all good. And it's, I guess it goes, and it's not like we actually said this in our marriage vows or anything, but you know, the implication on marriage is in sickness and in health, right? And I completely agree with that. Like, you know, if you got cancer and got terminally ill, and that is, I'm not going to abandon you or run away. I'll do my absolute best. And just like all of these things, when you end up in a place like this, which hasn't been a good one, like, I have done my best, and I'm continuing to try and increase my capacity for compassion and empathy and love. And you know, these have been exercises in that. But what I find interesting is that because you've been in this continual state for a while now, good news, everybody, she's actually feeling good this week and hopefully we're moving through it. But like I almost kind of take on the sympathy sloth. You know, like if you're not doing anything, I find it very hard to get motivated to do anything,
mm-hmm.
especially when we're in such a small house together.
Yeah.
It's like you're, you know, just knocked out on the bed, just watching something or listening to something or whatever. And so I was like, guess that's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And so I don't get any work done. And yeah. like I turn off as well. And even, you know, sort of you've been good for 3 days and we've been in the office for the last 3 days.
Woohoo!
And all of the stuff's got done.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, obviously, as the co-host of the podcast on most of the episodes, and I have recorded guest episodes in this time that, so those will be coming out, people. Yeah, I can't ask you to be on the podcast because you haven't
been. I couldn't have.
Yeah, you haven't been capable of speaking on this.
No, I've been, and like you said, it's been various illnesses after one after the other. But they've wiped me out. They've completely depleted me. Mm. So yeah, I haven't been available physically or mentally or anything. I just haven't been in my own body.
Yeah. And then to answer some people's questions who have asked, and some of you who may not know, Libby wasn't the only one to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
On my birthday, on the 2nd of August, I went on my favorite birthday hike up here in the hills behind Puerto Escondido in Mexico. And I had a bunch of good friends come with me. And it's stunning. It's beautiful. We go to my favorite waterfall. You know, 7 of us swim in that waterfall.
I was supposed to go on that one.
You were supposed to go
on
that
one. And I tested positive for COVID that day, remember?
Yep.
So yep. I couldn't go.
And so you couldn't go. And so I went. It was wonderful. We had a fantastic day. Unbeknownst to me, the 7 of us that swam under that waterfall, 6 of us got water in our mouths and were absolutely fine. And one of us, me, got water and what is essentially some cow pee in my mouth.
Or rat pee, potentially.
Or rat pee. Cow or rat pee, that's where it comes from. And didn't know that. Went on to live my life happily and heartily. Went to New Zealand, did some talks in New Zealand, then to go to another talk, but ended up sort of, I felt like, I was like, oh man, I'm getting COVID again, because people have been getting COVID one after another quickly. And so I had this sort of fever and I wasn't doing well. And then that fever got worse and then got worse. And then we went to the A&E clinic and basically got carried in there, and A&E clinic went, get out of here and go to hospital. And so I went to hospital and I ended up in hospital for a week. And 4 of those days in there were in pretty much, I'd say 18 hours a day of almost 39.6, almost 40 degree temperatures, fevers, induced delirium. I responded to some people on social media during that time and I was like, oh shit, what did I say? Sorry. Shouldn't have been in charge of my phone.
You were saying some bizarre stuff.
And it took them 4 days to figure out what I had. I had about a dozen different doctors from different departments come and talk to me and try and figure it out. And in the end, they took many, many blood tests and a test showed that I had leptospirosis, which is a bacteria that is transmitted through rat and cow pee. And obviously we don't have the fencing laws like New Zealand does here in Mexico, and so cows can get close to the rivers and
every hike I've ever been on, there's been the giant, the big buffalo looking cows along the river.
Yeah, exactly. But even that is rare, you know, to catch that. You're more likely to get E. coli and get an upset stomach or something like that from cows being near the river. But I was the unlucky one to get leptospirosis. So that messed me up for a good while. And then it took me a week or so to recover from that.
More than that.
And then I traveled back to Mexico and then Libby's been sick. And, that, ladies and gentlemen, is why there's been no podcasts. Back to the leptospirosis. It was horrible. It was shitty. Like, you don't want it. That's for sure. But one of the sort of the interesting things of being in fever for that long and being in hospital for that long and being the kind of person that is looking for growth in different places is that it gave me a really long time where I had to go inward. So when I'm in a fever, I can't do anything except try and get through the fever. And so during the fevers, I'd tape my mouth shut. And the doctor's like, what are you doing? Why are you taping your mouth shut? I was like, so I stay in my parasympathetic nervous system. So I'm only nasal breathing, because when you end up in those states, it's very easy to be and you get into a state of panic alongside the fever. And so by taping my mouth shut, I made sure I stayed in the parasympathetic state. And so even though I was in this really crazy fever, I was in a reasonably calm state inside my mind, and it allowed me to sit there and really have no other distractions. I couldn't do anything else. And it allowed me to go inward. And so I spent, you know, 4 days really sort of listening and going inward. And it really helped me understand a whole bunch of things. And, you know, it's the kind of work that we don't set aside for ourselves at any other time of our lives. But it was really, like, I sort of came out of the hospital and I was really grateful. I was grateful for the medical care, the doctors, the nurses. I was grateful for the things that I learned personally inside that time. And so, you know, I actually look back at it as a really sort of beneficial experience. And I came out of the hospital after a week going, oh, cool. That was good. That was time well spent. And I don't think there's many other people coming out of the hospital after 7 days feeling that way. So I was really grateful for that sort of thing. And then to come back here, like, it's the funny thing. It's what I actually struggle with the most, not getting really sick and ending up in hospital, but still trying to increase my empathy and compassion. And I think that, I mean, I know that my empathy and my compassion over the last 8 years between dealing with your chronic fatigue with you till now has increased. And I just still don't think the universe thinks it's increased enough.
Yeah, I want to say something though. You at the beginning said that you have trouble with empathy and compassion in general, and that's not true, because you
I thought you were going to bring this up, because I was just thinking about it at the same time I was saying it.
The minute anyone reaches out to you saying, I need help, I'm in this way, can you please help me? Can you talk to me? You drop everything. You go into this. It's like you switch from normal Jimmy mode to pro mode. You're like, you switch on. You are calm. You are wise. You are able to counsel people, guide people, mentor people at the drop of a hat. You are so good at it. It's amazing. And you do. You help people all of the time. The problem you have, and you know this, is with the person closest to you. You have trouble having empathy and compassion for me when I'm sick, particularly when I'm sick or when I'm feeling not great.
Yeah.
And we've kind of identified that it does come from, you think it comes from your previous marriage where you felt burdened by her always being sick and whatever.
Yeah. And at the time, like, I felt like she burdened me because she cost me so much money.
Yeah, right.
And I wasn't in a good financial place. Right. And so that was a burden on top of a burden.
Right.
And that hurt me then. But
we identified that, and I've kind of have said to you, that's so unfair for you to cast me in that same light, because I'm not, you know, I don't cost you any money, whatever. No. But it's a hangover from that. So we've kind of identified that your compassion needed to grow for particularly for me in your intimate relationship with me, and that's where you're getting tested. And I mean, we talk about all the time how we're together for a reason. It's not just you that needs to learn from that that situation. I have to learn. I've got stuff I'm working on currently, which is why I'm getting sick. There's the universe is giving me these.
Yeah, you want to tell them?
Yeah, no, I will. Like I've got, the universe gives you what you need to grow, what you need to evolve and resolve. And for me, what it's identified as, I'm like, why am I getting sick all the time? This is so unfair. I want to live a healthy, vibrant life, but I keep getting my legs knocked out from under me. I get injured or I get sick and whatever. And it just seems to be this perpetual cycle. And what I've learned, especially mostly recently, is that when I was a child and not in a loving environment, when I was ill, I got attention. Mm. When I was unwell, someone would nurse me, you know, I felt, and I was like, well, that's love.
Yeah.
This is when I feel loved, is when I'm sick. And it perpetuates in your body. It becomes a story you tell yourself as a young child that if I'm sick, I'm going to get love. And in an environment where love was not expressed, it was scarce, I became very, very, very adept at making myself sick to get love. And I was sick as a child. I remember if I really sit back, my mother was a nurse at a hospital for when I was, you know, very young through to high school. And I would take.
Oh, insight.
And I would take days.
Sorry, just insight.
Uh-huh.
Your mother had compassion and empathy
for
other people and not for you. You married your mother.
I did. I married my mother. But anyway, I used to take days off school, whether I was really sick or not. And I would go into the local hospital and I'd have a bed in the hospital. And I'd go to if I was well enough, I'd go to the school at the hospital for that day. Like it was a thing. It was a thing that perpetuated in my life. And I've obviously continued that. And I also have this feeling of, it's brought up very recently, the understanding that I feel like I have to do everything on my own.
Mm.
I feel abandoned. I feel like nobody's going to help me. And when I'm ill and all I want is someone to have compassion and love and empathy for me and look after me and love me, I've got you. And while you're a great human being, you're shit at caring for me when I'm sick. Yeah. You have been. It's not, you know, we talked about when I had chronic fatigue and the things you would do. I had chronic fatigue for a year and I remembered two things where it was an amazing experience. And then, you would take me to hospital or you were there for me, but you weren't caring and loving.
Yeah.
The person who loved me through my chronic fatigue was your mother.
My mother.
Your mother loved me. My own parents didn't even get in touch with me.
Yeah.
Like this is the difference. This is the love I was receiving as a child versus, and then married to someone who was unable to give me compassion.
Mm.
In fact, I hope you don't mind me saying, to the point where you would become angry at me for being sick.
I get angry at you when you get sick.
And I would just be like, how is this fair? I'm feeling like crap and now you're loading your anger onto me because you don't like that I'm sick because it's ruining your plans.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. And so we've been through this year and even, you know, recently when you got back and not this last time before, I was like, why are you doing this to me? Like, this is cruel. It felt cruel that all I needed was love and compassion and you were giving me anger and whatever, you know? So we've kind of had to address that. And I've had to address it in my own way of, I need to not rely on other people to love me. I don't need to be sick to be loved. Like, these are the things I'm working through at the moment. My body was very, very good at becoming ill when I felt something lacking or missing. So I'm working on resolving my own stuff around what sickness looks like, what health looks like, what compassion looks like, what love looks like. And you're an incredible teacher for that because it's not merciful. It's not like, oh, well, I'm going to love you and look after you and make you soup or fetch for you this and that. And you
wouldn't. Because that would technically enable that.
It would. It would make it worse. So the universe gives you what you need to learn and grow.
You're welcome.
And it sucks because I kind of, do you know what? There's a little part of me that was like, damn it, you keep getting let off the hook. I just want you to acknowledge that you're shit at taking care of me. You're not a compassionate person when it comes to me.
I do acknowledge it. I've always acknowledged it.
No, I know, but then I turn around and go, but it's okay, baby, because actually this is a lesson for me. And, and I'm like, damn it, you never end up just being the bad guy. Like, it's not, you can't just like offload it. It's always about each individual's lesson.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, the abandonment thing is something that, you know, you obviously you just mentioned and you brought up and you are addressing. But again, like, so in a relationship, the kind of relationship I want is two absolutely whole individuals with their own lives that just intersect in the things that they need to intersect on. And so, like, I have a life, and I have a life outside of you, but I also want a life with you. And that has always been the case. That will always be the case with anybody I'm with. But like, I wake up, I'm like, this is what I'm going to go do. And you're like, I don't want to do that. And you're like, cool, I'm going to go do that. So like today, I'm going for a hike. Like this afternoon, so for 7 hours, I'm gone. Like, this is what I'm doing. And you're like, I don't want to come. And then one day I wake up and I'm like, I'm going to go on a really long walk. And you're like, okay, cool. I was like, no, like real long. You're like, how long? Like 4 months long. And you're like, oh, shit, not again. And that perpetuates the feeling of abandonment.
Yeah, I've married a man who likes to leave me and go away for long periods of time, and not necessarily likes to, but also for necessity's sake, especially during COVID.
The first year
of COVID, you went to New Zealand for nearly 7 months, and that was tough. We've had episodes on how that was for us. And then last year you went for 4 months, and then this year you were away. You've already been a few times, and then the last time you were supposed to only be gone 10 days and it ended up being a month. And so it's like, for me, I understand what it is. I have to deal with the feeling of being abandoned and what that means and where that comes from. And I have to deal with the feeling of I'm on my own.
Mm.
I'm all alone. Like, it's very sad. Oh, poor Libby, she's all alone. She has to do everything her own. Even when she's sick, she has to cook her own food. Yeah. Like, it's this whole big sob story.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been working on and addressing in the past few weeks, really. It's kind of come to a head in the past few weeks. And I've come to a deeper understanding and insight on the past few weeks. And so it isn't about, you know, everything's lovely and wonderful. It's like, well, we're going to put you in a relationship with a man who, through choice or necessity, goes away from you. And you have to learn this. You have to be okay at being on your own. You have to learn how to love yourself.
Yes.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an easy, I'm going to have this lesson and it'll be, you know, half an hour each week, I'll be done. It's, I'm 44 years old now. This has been ingrained in me from this entire lifetime, who knows how many lifetimes, whatever. This is a giant shift in my evolution. This is a huge one for me, learning how to love myself, be okay on my own, and not relying on anybody else.
Rely on love from anyone else.
I think the key here for that is what I've understood is not just, learn not to rely on anybody else and be okay and be fine and independent, because I am. I already am that. But what it is not rely on that, the love from anybody else, and then make that a story that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay to be on my own and love myself fully and firstly, and then have you as a lovely attachment in my life.
Yeah.
But I default to if I'm not being looked after, it's not, you know, it's not love. So,
and that's the difference between us, right? Is that I have all the self-love. And then,
and little compassion.
And so I have all the self-love, and so therefore can like just go do all of these things and not feel that.
And it's so much easier. We've always known it's so much easier for me to love outwardly.
Yes.
I will look after and love on anybody, anytime, whatever. It's so easy for me to love outwardly, and it's so hard for me to love inwardly.
Yeah.
And that's what this lesson is for me.
But yeah, and so yeah, yours is self-love. And so Sally, who was episode number 3, I think, on this podcast, our spiritual mentor, I saw her in New Zealand before I left. And, you know, we were talking because you at the time, you hadn't sort of understood that just yet. And you were like, you're abandoning me, da, da, da. Sally just looks at me and goes, good. She's so rough.
She's like, brutal.
She's like, good. She needs to be abandoned. Yeah. Like, so she can face this.
Yeah.
And because I was like, oh, you know, do I not go on my walk? You know, like all this stuff. She's like, no. Like,
yeah, but the thing is that I've kind of always had an understanding of that. Like, I've never thought for a second you should not go on your walk. And I've never said to you, you're abandoning me by going on your walk. But what I did say, was it feels tough that like our house isn't finished. It's going to be finished by the time you literally leave, you probably won't move. I'm going to be living there alone.
Yeah.
We just had a robbery at our house now while you were away, which I didn't tell you about because I didn't want you to worry, whatever. Yeah. But there's things that in me, and these are, I kind of have to look at this and go, is this the sphere of abandonment? Is this big story I'm telling myself, or is this real? And actually living on my own in a home in Mexico where there are no neighbors next to me, that's actually just a genuine concern that anyone should have. Like, absolutely. That's not a feeling of abandonment, but, and then I have to articulate that to you. So I have to, from my perspective, I have to go, should I say this to him? Because I don't want him to start thinking that I don't want him to go on his walk, because I do. Should I just keep it inside myself and hold it in myself? So there's this fine line of how much do I tell him that I'm worried or have these concerns or I'm thinking about this thing, and how much do I go, no, his walk is too important to him. I don't want him to even think for a second that I have concerns about him leaving.
Yeah. So, well, but how much is, I mean, this is what a lot of people sit with, right? How much is irrational fear and how much is rational fear?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying there, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, security in your house in Mexico is irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, everyone puts whatever they need to do in place in order to make sure that their property is secure. Absolutely rational fear. You know, oh, I'm going to be lonely for 4 months.
Mm.
You know, irrational fear. You don't need that fear because you know, you won't. You'll be fine.
I'll still miss you. Like, this is the difference.
Of course, we do.
I won't be lonely, but I'll miss you. Like, that's that's fine. We've got to that point where it's like, it's okay. I'm used to you going away. And actually, you ask me when you're away sometimes, do you miss me? I'm like, nah, not yet. I haven't been gone long enough. I think the 7 months made it. So that anytime you go away for less than, I don't know, 4 months is probably like, hey, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely highlighted huge lessons for both of us. We say this all the time on this podcast and in life. We're so different. We're the opposite of each other. And like, it couldn't be more opposite in the things that we're having to deal with. But how cool is that? That you're mirroring what I need to see, which is the complete opposite to what I'm marrying to you. It's like, well, these lessons are so obvious.
Yeah.
Like, it's about doing the internal work to actually move through it and evolve, resolve. Let's, you know, see where we can get to with this. And it, you know, like you said, you came out of hospital thinking, well, that was a really good time for me. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I've been so sick. Like, the last couple of months I've literally had, I think, until this week, 3 days in between different unrelated illnesses where I felt functional as a human.
Yeah.
Been so bad. But at the same time, I can already, and even during it, was looking at it as, well, this is growth. This is learning. This sucks. I hate it. But I'm learning so much about myself in a condensed period of time. And yeah, hopefully now we're on a stretch of time where it's not hampered by...
Hopefully you don't get sick again next week.
It's until I've learned the lesson and changed the thoughts and the behaviors towards the topic, I will continue.
Yeah. But you no longer need to get sick in order to feel loved. You can feel loved at any time by yourself.
Yeah. I mean, well, Yes, in theory, but I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet.
It's a, like, let's not make it sound like, oh, I've found the answer and I mean, I understand the answer, but
now you're working on the answer.
Now I'm working on it.
Well, that's just it. First of all, you know, step number one, I always say, is self-awareness, right? Mm. You've got to be aware of what's going on in order to be able to change that behavior.
Mm.
And so, and that's usually the hardest part. That's the breakthrough part. It's like, oh shit, this is what I do.
It's an epiphany.
Yeah, it is. It's an insight. It's an epiphany. It's a piece of self-awareness. You're like, oh shit, that's what I do. And that's leading to this.
Mm.
Like, right. Now the work starts.
Yeah.
Now the work starts in order to change that behavior, which is the constant conscious choices around that. And that's the process that you're on right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, even just that in itself is so encouraging, and we know we're going in the right direction.
And it helps as well. Like, I have had help with this. I've kind of been trying to do it on my own for so long because I'm very stubborn like that.
Mm.
But Sally has helped. In fact, I've had two sessions with her, one yesterday and one last week. But also I've been taking a little bit of medicinal dose of psilocybin just a couple of times, which breaks through that barrier of, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what to do.
Mm.
It's helped me understand, well, there's the problem. It doesn't give you the tools to fix it.
No, but it helps show you the problem.
But it's that awareness of, this is what's going on for me. Okay, that's what I need to address.
Again, if you are not in a country where psilocybin is legal, then
disclaimer, yeah.
Then we do not recommend you take it.
I don't know.
It is a class A drug in New Zealand.
But it's delightful.
Do not get caught with it.
No, I know. Like, look, whatever your opinion is on that kind of thing, I personally hope that a medicinal
being legalized in many states in the US, Mexico.
Well, it's had such incredible results for people with certain.
Exactly.
With many different things. But what I'm saying is that if that becomes, I would love for that to become available, because my point was, I'm getting help from different sources. I'm using the resources I have available to help me. It's very, very, very difficult to sit inside yourself, even find what's going on for you, to get through all the clutter and the noise, to find, well, this is where it comes from, this is the root cause of this, and then put into practice how to get through it. I feel very fortunate that I live in, well, I'm in a relationship where we talk about this stuff all the time.
I can help you point it out.
You can, you can point it out, whether or not I like what you're saying, or you're saying vice versa. It's always hard to hear from the person closest to you. We have Sally, I am thankful enough I have the medicine I take, whatever. But the important thing is that if you are going through something, there is a reason for it. It's not just life happening to you.
Yeah. You know, you just need to go looking for it.
Go inside.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I haven't uploaded a podcast in 2 months. We've been on a bit of a struggle street journey. But we're back. We're here. I've got some interviews that, we'll be going back to regularly scheduled programming. I've got some topics that I want to talk about that will improve your mental fitness. Got some people that we're talking to that are going to help you out as well. And then in 2 months' time, I'm going on my walk, and I will be pretty much unable to upload podcasts for quite a few months. But in stark contrast, my social content will be going through the roof. And I have a lot to write about and a lot of learnings and insights to be giving through there. But during that time on the walk, the podcast will still be coming out, because Libby and I are about to go into overdrive mode right now and produce a whole bunch of podcasts, and they will all be scheduled and just come out on Sunday for everyone to listen to and learn from. So I thank you very much for coming back to a podcast that looked like it was dead. But appreciate you listening. Appreciate you sharing. Appreciate you commenting. Love you very much. Bye-bye.
That was Inside Out with Jimmy Hunt. See you next time.